The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Doing nothing but running this mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. Coming in a little hot today. She's too excited, her man looked like. Coming in a little hot. I cannot be the only one. I do not think I'm alone. I think there are many, 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 many people out there this morning who feel like I do. And look, the rain doesn't help, right? The weather yesterday, it was cold, it was rainy, it was gray. Today it's cold, it's rainy, it's gray. I'm pissed off. I am absolutely hacked off about the Milwaukee Bucks. Nothing like everyone telling me all offseason and all regular season long that this team had put together the pieces to be a Eastern Conference champion, and they should be in the finals, and all of the great stuff that people were saying about the Milwaukee Bucks. Bull. I'm so frustrated this morning, Chew. Watching that game, I hate watched the Bucks last night. I was hate watching the Bucks.
Why can't we be as critical of the Bucks as we are of the Packers? I'm talking to everybody. Am I right? Like, they stink. This season.
You know what? I think you needed that game. I think whatever he's giving you right now, you actually needed that today.
What are we talking about?
Because I guarantee if you put it on the poll, they'll be like, oh, let's just run it back.
People rag
again.
On the Bucks more no, than nationally they rag do. Nationally, the Packers. They do.
But now that you look at the national pundits, they're right. They are right.
What were they right about, Chew?
That they're overhyped. They're not very good. They don't play well together as a team. This is a train wreck. Like, who do we blame?
I mean, injuries. Like,
there is no Seinfeld scale of concern. It's over.
Yeah,
over.
But like, how many?
What is your grade for this season?
I don't know. I really don't care. But like, how many playoff games are the Packers expected to win without Jordan Love?
Well, are we using it as an excuse or are we not?
The injuries...
Sounds like it's going to be.
But the injuries aren't an excuse. It's not an excuse if it's an actual thing. Like, Giannis isn't sitting there, like, nursing this. If Giannis could be out there, guess what? He would be.
Gabe,
and if Giannis was out there...
It would be a shame to me.
And if Giannis was out there, do I think the Bucks are winning the NBA Finals this year?
Finish your sentence, Gabe.
I do not.
Chew, finish your sentence. It would be a shame to you if...
If they were good this year. They sucked. This is an embarrassment. When they got Dame, I'm like, ooh, brass polish. They weren't even close. They were not even close.
Because both Dame and Giannis were injured.
But I'm sick of the regular season doesn't matter.
Because it doesn't.
So,
it doesn't.
So you're just going to dismiss everything and say, all right, let's just roll it back next year.
But, I mean, it's not what they did. It's not what they did this year.
What is the evidence that the regular season doesn't matter? Because the Bucks put it on a post-game post on Instagram that, those 82 games.
Who's the favorite to win the NBA Finals this year?
Denver.
What seed are they in the West?
48. I don't even know.
The third seed.
You know who's good? Minnesota.
Yeah, they're also
not going
to win.
You know who's good?
It.
Yeah, the Celtics are good. Yeah. You know who's good? Denver's good. Who else is good?
About it.
And I ain't saying the Bucks.
The Bucks should have been in that category.
Yeah, but
we should have been talking about the Bucks as one of the top teams in the league. We should be, like you said, getting the brass polish ready for another Larry O'Brien trophy. And there is a frustration about the team that you rolled out there last night, which, again, no disrespect, but it was hard to watch at times. I mean, I know they're working with different rotations. I know they've got guys in roles that they're not typically in. Pat Connaughton is your ball handler on a lot of possessions. Pat Beverly gets injured in the middle of the game. You don't know when he's coming back. That was frustrating. Nothing more frustrating, though, than Bobby Portis, who, look, we love the passion. We love the dog. We love all of that. But when you're down two starters, Bobby, can you have some situational awareness, bud? Can you just recognize that you cannot get into a scuffle with another player that may lead to a tech or two techs and is going to lead to your dismissal? Like, that was really bad.
Yeah,
it was a really, really bad moment by Bobby, who has had a lot of really, really, really good moments. But that's going to stick in people's memories for a while.
Yeah, if you wanted to have any chance in last night's game,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're finalist for sixth man of the year. You're one of the Bucks' top six players. They're already without the top two. Need the other four to be playing well in order after that. And guess what? When you get ejected 7 minutes in, you played 7 minutes. No, that's, you can't have that. You can't do that.
So what do you
it's
do?
It's irresponsible.
Gabe, what do you do? You're the owner. What do you do?
I mean, if you can find a way to get younger, you have to. Now, you don't have a lot of draft picks because of the capital that you've traded away in not just the Dame Lillard trade, but the Drew Holiday trade before that. So you've got a pick swap this year. You got to hope you nail that pick. You got to, I mean, Brooke played pretty well offensively last night, but there are times where defensively, I mean, teams just try to pull him away from the basket, which is why the Bucks went to a zone that had some success on Friday night, trying to keep him around the rim, keep him up from outside. But that's just kind of a Band-Aid thing, right? Like, as much as I love Brooke, if you can find a way to get younger there, but it's just tough. The assets, you don't have a ton of assets right now because you've been ring chasing ever since 2021. You've sent away a lot of picks to acquire some of the talent that you currently have. And it's not like you just go out there and sign a free agent with the way that the salary cap works in the NBA.
I think Chewy's big issue this morning is the last thing he wants to hear, if in fact this is the end. And man, it feels like the end, man. It feels like the death toll is ringing. It feels like everybody is writing the Bucks off. Because again, last night would have been a good opportunity to even up the series, bring it back to Milwaukee, even when you were playing as many men down as you were. But man, that third quarter was awful basketball by the Bucks. And I recognize what is happening, okay? So because I'm sitting there on my couch going, can we get an offensive board? Can somebody be in a position to get an offensive rebound? Maybe give yourself a second chance opportunity? I don't know. It's just throwing it out there. Just a theory. Might work for you. Has worked for others. And of course, it's like, right, but then they sacrifice the transition defense.
Yes.
Right? So what they're doing is they're cheating. They're getting themselves back down the court so that they aren't, you know, being destroyed in transition defense. And that's why every ball is a one and done. And there were so many empty possessions in that third quarter. And there were so many misses in that third quarter. And I was so frustrated. I had to go outside and cool off. Walk outside. Walk away, Jed. Don't say anything you're really going to regret. Don't take it out on your children.
I mean, again, I don't know. I thought the effort they put outside of Bobby, like, I'm proud of the effort they put together last night. That doesn't get you anything in the postseason. Like,
these are still pro players, though, Gabe.
Yeah,
right?
but you without your top three. Like, again, you, how many games?
The fact that you're saying, like, I'm proud of the effort they put in feels a little.
But I also said it doesn't matter anything in the postseason. But also, we have to recognize, how many games are the Nuggets winning without Jokic and Murray? How many games are the Lakers winning without LeBron and AD?
It is a superstar league. No
How
question.
Many games are the Celtics winning without Tatum and Brown?
So who am I supposed to be mad at? Tell me. Solius?
Yeah, whoever invented the soleus muscle. Whoever
so,
invented
God,
that.
I'm angry
saying,
with God.
We're pointing at one big guy here.
I mean, Team God over here, so you gotta go through him to get up there first.
All right, let me ask you this. Did it hurt more this year or last year?
Oh, last year. Not
what?
Even close.
Really?
Yeah. This year, they
That's
suck,
because you keep letting
Gabe.
Me...
They were horrible the whole year. There wasn't even a stretch of like, wow, this is the
dominant
number one power ranked team in the NBA. Not even close. This is why it doesn't even hurt that much. I agree with you, because they sucked the whole year.
Well, last year they were also the number one seed, and like, Giannis got hurt in the series. You went into this with Giannis already being hurt, and then Dame getting hurt on top of it.
But when you take the addition of Dame Lillard, expectations were raised. Dame Lillard was supposed to be the piece that put them over the top. You don't make that move unless you think he's the game changer. He's the difference maker. So I would make the argument that this season has hurt more because, to Chewy's point, you didn't even get the luxury of having a dominant regular season, whether it matters to you or not. You didn't even get that luxury of having that like stretch of this team is really effing good. You were like, well, they're tooling, they're tinkering, they're figuring it out, the chemistry and blah, blah, blah. Like, so now you get to the postseason, which again, we have talked about, everybody waits for, right? Because you keep telling us the regular season doesn't matter. So now we're waiting for the postseason and it's over.
But it's like,
yeah, because of two injuries. Because they injured your two top guys.
I know, but it's like, should they have never fired Bud? And then it's like, should they have never fired Griffith?
Yeah, I mean,
because Doc's record was not good at all.
I'm not saying Doc was the answer. I'm not saying Doc is the answer. Adrian Griffin was not the answer. Like, all the stories that came out, Jen, you had the one about him yelling at assistant coaches. Like, clearly this dude was in over his head. All right? Like, you weren't doing anything with him. And at the same time, like, Bud ran his course. They haven't found the right answer, but I don't think Bud was necessarily the answer either.
800-990-3776. Taking your reaction all morning long to the Bucks now being down in this series 3-1 against the Pacers. Coming back to Milwaukee, yes, but all signs are pointing towards we are not going to see Giannis in this series. Probably won't see Dame in the series either. So that is where the frustration, the anger, the ire is coming from this morning. And we've got callers waiting patiently on the line. Let's get out to Tim and Tosa. Tim, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. How are you feeling this morning about the state of the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, I'm either channeling your anger or you're channeling mine. I thought I was going to be on an island this morning. I went on last night and I was like, it's time. Get out the TNT and blow this thing up. And I know, Gabe, you're absolutely 100%. How many games are you going to win without your stars? But what this shows glaringly is that the rest of the pieces are not able to step up when they need to, right? Middleton is having a great series. He's about the only shining light. You guys have touched on a lot of stuff. Brook Lopez, I'm sorry, dude. For as much as you provide offensively and shooting from the three, a big man should be backing people down and putting it down. Portis.
But they've got him in the pick and roll, and then he's up at the top of the key. Right, right. Like, he just can't get down to defend the hoop then.
But his glaring weakness is he is slow. 100%. He cannot play defense. So now he's a liability, right? He's an offensive, I don't say juggernaut, but now he's a defensive liability. So he can be gone next year. Love him. I'm just angry. Portis, you are a fan favorite, just like Jones was, but Jones plays better than you on the football side of it, right? You're a fan favorite, but man, you just don't know how to handle anything under the basket. He looks lost all the time. He looks like he's looking for a foul. He can't rebound. His hands are soft. I don't know what his deal is. Connington, man, when you are wide open, you need to hit. And our shooters are not shooting. And if you look at Indiana, we knew that they were coming in and they are all shooters, and they're playing. That's my point. Is like, yes, Giannis is out again for the playoffs in some capacity up here. I feel like this is every year he's out one game or two games, but anyways, that's another thing. But yeah, it hurts. Definitely Dame stepped up. Now he's injured, right? But really, to me, it's glaring across the board that we don't have any other pieces. We don't have the winning pieces. Like Chewy was saying, like, we thought Lillard was going to put us over the top. We don't have the rest of the pieces. And Doc, you're not the guy, man. Every time I look at him on the sideline, he looks lost. Like, his coaching philosophy on the sideline, when you look at him from a TV standpoint, is, well, why wasn't that a penalty? Why wasn't that a foul? Well, he's looking for fouls. He doesn't look like he's coaching anybody. He's not doing anything. He looks like he's crying. And the Jackson kid, I love the energy, but, dude, you can't get your hands off of people. Quit getting these flagrant fouls and amping up the Pacers, man. It goes across the board. I mean, and I don't know. I blow up the team. Right, I'm fine with it. I know. See ya.
We appreciate you. Thanks for the call. Tim venting.
Frustrated.
Ranting. Wow. Good. I'm glad we gave him the platform to do that this morning.
The only thing I will say is, again, I don't think Doc is necessarily the answer, but you better get used to Doc being on the sideline, because there is everything else they could do. Lopez, Connaughton, Portis, like, they could move all those pieces. I have a hard time believing that this team is going to pay four coaches next year.
Well, it's not even that, but it's the money that they've invested in. The money they've invested in Giannis, the money they've invested in Dave, the money they've invested in Chris, and to your point, the money they have invested in Doc Rivers.
Yeah, like, they're not, they're already paying Bud, they're paying Adrian, they're paying Doc, and Doc took advantage. And again, don't fault him for taking advantage, saw the situation, got himself a nice lucrative deal. They're not going to fire him, pay him $40 million to go away, and then pay a fourth coach.
I'm going to be interested when the season is over to see how these guys react. Giannis, Dame, what are they going to say?
I don't know. But
you think they're going to say, let's roll it back, we just need more time to play one another?
There are some other pieces, but I'll tell you this. I love the fact that Dame was willing to go out there even though he couldn't move in overtime on Friday. He's like, hey, put me out there, be a decoy. That way Chris can keep cooking. Let's keep this thing rolling. I need to be out there. I want to be out there. I love that from Dame.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. Let's get to more of your calls. Brian in Lake Mills waiting patiently on the line. Brian, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to the Bucks loss and the state of the Bucks right now.
Oh, happy Monday, everyone, huh?
Honestly, though, questions. Just quickly, this is the happiest I think I've seen Chew ever walk into this office on a Monday. He was so happy to just, like, just tell me, look at me and say, I told you so. He was.
I was pretty easy on you.
You were very easy on me.
Has a lot of show left.
But you had a big smile on your face when you walked in this
shart
morning.
Shart and farter?
Is it the told you so?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, go ahead,
I'm
Brian.
I'm a shart and farter.
All right. A couple of comments and then a question for you, Gabe. Things could be worse. You could be a Suns fan. I think they have like $500 million invested in three aging people, and Grayson Allen being injured is what took the team down. How crazy is that? Also, I think I now know why Dame was sitting another row behind the bench. It's because he was sick of Thanasis running up and down and didn't want to get hit. But then, Gabe, question for you is, how worried do we all need to be as Bucks fans that, once again, it's another lower extremity injury for Giannis, when that really is his game? He's not a great shooter, and he relies on his legs. So if it happens again, I mean, at what point is it, where are we at, on that Seinfeld scale of Giannis's leg injuries going into the future?
You look a little stressed.
Oh, I'm stressed.
I guess the fact that they've all been a little different, like they just kind of happened throughout the course. But yeah, as he's getting closer to 30, I think there's a little bit of concern there. But I guess I'm not that concerned about Giannis just because there's no evidence that they're all connected. But yeah, to your point, like Giannis doesn't have a game that's going to age gracefully. Like he's all athleticism. Yeah. He's all brute strength. Like that's not going to age gracefully. Like he's not going to be one of these guys playing at 39 and still doing some of the things that he's able to do.
Reaction rolling in on our ESPN Milwaukee Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in on the YouTube page as well. No Debate Sports saying, wish I could call in. I'm disappointed in you guys. I really enjoy the show, but you are not a Buck-based channel. Gabe is right. Two superstars out, and we are upset. You know what we're upset about? No Debate Sports. I think the window is closed. I think the window has closed for this Milwaukee Bucks team. Because if you are getting rid of a Lopez, if you are getting rid of a Portis, if you're moving on from Pat Connaughton, like those were the guys, in addition to, of course, Giannis and Chris and Dame more recently. Like this was supposed to be this core that was unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand this idea about not having enough depth. Giannis is a game changer. Giannis is a unicorn. Losing Giannis was always going to be difficult. But we saw Dame step up. We saw him be able to carry the team. And then he got hurt. So who's next in line? This is where Chris Middleton needs to come through. And I know you said he had 40-plus on Friday. I know. Where was it last night?
Well, again, like so Chris has to score 40 every game?
When Giannis and Dame are out, who is the next person up?
Yeah, Chris.
So, yes, you need Chris to be that guy.
So, you need to score 40 points every time somebody's out. Like, he scored 42 on Friday night.
That's what I just said.
He scored 42 on Friday night. So like, that's fantastic.
So, in your mind, so you're like, that's enough from Chris. We got the performance from him. Thank you, Chris, for showing up on Friday. You don't got to do anything on Sunday.
25. Oh, so you did nothing last night. 25 and 10 is nothing.
I didn't say nothing. I'm simply saying, like, Gabe, it's weird because you have such high expectations for all of your sports teams. But for some reason with this Bucks team, you're willing to give everybody a pass when they don't measure up.
He's not a Supermax guy. He's not on a Supermax contract. He's on a Max.
No, he's not.
He isn't?
He signed a 3-year, $93 million deal. That is not a Supermax. He's nowhere near the top player paid players in the league. Nowhere near that.
Am I wrong that the window feels like it's closed?
It has a Green Bay Packer feel to it. When you have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks for 30-something years and you win two Super Bowls, that's what it feels like. Am I right? That's what it's feeling like. It's like, are we just getting one? Is that all we're going to get with this group? One championship? That's what it feels like to me.
It's certainly possible. But again, if we think Chris Middleton's the problem, I can't help anybody.
Not even a matter of Chris Middleton being the problem. It's we're talking about the way that the team has been put together.
But again, if Dame and Giannis aren't playing, I go back to how many games is any team across the NBA?
The Indiana Pacers
winning
in the regular season beat them 5 out of 6 or four out of five.
Yeah, with a different. Again, there was a different coach.
So what
coach.
Is it? The regular season doesn't matter, and it carries because they suck in the playoffs too.
But Giannis has not played a single minute for the Bucks.
If LeBron didn't play a minute for the Lakers, if Jokic
didn't play a minute for the Nuggets, if Tatum didn't play a minute for the Celtics.
How many games?
None of these teams are winning championships without their best player.
How many games did Giannis play in the regular season? when they played Indiana?
He played all five. Different coach.
Big performances in some of them too, Chu. But again, Chris Middleton was hurt a lot of this season.
Like Chris has been good in this playoff, in the series. Like I have zero complaints about Chris Middleton.
Let's roll it back, I guess.
So why did they lose? You're saying they simply lost because they didn't have Giannis and they didn't have Dame. You're not putting any onus on any of the other players. You're not putting any onus on Doc Rivers. You're not putting any onus on the team and the way that they've constructed this roster.
And look, are there some issues there? Yes.
Like what?
But I am, again, they're a little odd. I talked about Brook Lopez and how he's a liability defensively. Bobby Portis can't get ejected. You have to get more out of your bench. That's something that they have flashed no matter who's been broadcasting the game, whether it's been ESPN, TNT, Bally. Like, one of the things that they constantly flash is bench scoring for the Pacers. Bucks just are not getting enough off of their bench. But that being said, like, I wasn't expecting them to go and even up the series last night.
No, I wasn't either.
This is, again, if the Packers go into a playoff game without Jordan Love, are we expecting them to win?
No, but we bought a brand new Ferrari. 2024 Ferrari, and we're putting olive oil in it for gas.
The problem is injuries feels like a cop-out, but it's not in the real... When you boil it down, winning without Dame and Giannis is just not what the Bucks are going to do. Nobody's that deep. So Gabe's right in there, but it's also hard to just say injuries when you look back at the season and how much of a disappointment it was and how often they underperformed even when they had everyone there. We're trying to marry it.
So to use Gabe's analogy of the Packers, if Jordan Love is out, you throw in the big red dog, Sean Clifford, or you throw in this new QB that they got and you change your offensive game plan to suit what they can do, you know, and maybe what they can't do versus what Jordan Love does. And so it has always been, can this Bucks team win? Can they score? Can they defend without those players? And it feels to me like it has been a slow go to get those guys to fill the roles that you need them now to fill. I mean, look, we talked about Pat Connaughton and I understand why he was the primary ball handler in the game because your primary ball handlers were not on the court. But Pat Connaughton, for as long as we have known him, has been a three-point specialist. That has been his job. Pat Connaughton has been bad this season. And so hoping that he would regain playoff Pat form for this postseason felt a little pie in the sky. It felt a little like when you wish upon a star. So like last night as Pat is chucking him up, I was like, please go in, please go in, please go in, because maybe it would get him started. And they just didn't. Like, it's little stuff like that where you're going, the people that you need to come through in these situations just were not. And that to me is roster construction on some level. It is a little short-sighted to say Dame and Giannis and Chris by extension are going to carry this offense. And when they're not in, we're throwing the white flag.
But that's just the way, again, that's the way economics in the NBA works.
I understand.
Like, what deep teams winning playoff series without their top two? Is there one? I don't think there is. And that's, yeah, you could be disappointed with the way things went in the regular season. I was looking forward to the playoffs. I thought that this team could make a run to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. But if you don't have your top two, then you're missing Dame last night. Like, we saw them, like, if Dame plays last night, they probably have a really good chance. Dame doesn't play. Then Pat Bev gets hurt. Yeah, now you have no ball handlers because your three guys that handle the ball primarily are out.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have lots of reaction rolling in, lots of folks on hold. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We will take you as soon as we get on the other side of this break, and we will read some of the reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days at burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Reacting to the Bucks' losses on Friday and on Sunday and are now down 3-1 to the Indiana Pacers, a team we were a little nervous about headed into this series just because of the success they had had against the Bucks in the regular season, hashtag or asterisk, regular season doesn't matter. But here we are now, Bucks facing elimination as they come back to Milwaukee for a game on Tuesday. Probably won't have Giannis, probably won't have Dame. Gabe, you said he was in a boot?
He was in a boot. That was the report from Shams on Saturday. Don't know if he was. I mean, he was sitting in the second row, so I didn't see, you know, whether or not he still had the boot during maybe that's why he was sitting in the second row, to try to, you know, kind of hide if he was wearing a boot or not. But he was walking around in a boot on Saturday, at least.
Ronnie weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, saying injuries happen, but they're much more likely to happen when you're the oldest team in the league. The Bucks gambled by going all in with an older superstar core, and Father Time got the best of them. It was a great run, but unfortunately, it is over. Should be Bucks need picks. Time to gut and rebuild with younger talent around Giannis. Let's go out to the phone lines. Leroy in Milwaukee. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to the Bucks being down 3-1 to the Pacers and the state of the Bucks right now.
Morning to you guys, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm a loyal listener every morning, but this I'm a first time calling in, and I had to call in on you guys. And speaking of you guys, hello, Josh, to you too.
Good to hear from you, Leroy.
My reaction to that, I was terribly disappointed in what I saw last night. I know it wasn't no Dame, and I know it wasn't no Giannis, and I wish both of them could have been out there, but Middleton did his thing a little bit in low pass, but ain't no way Miles Turner should have went off from three-point range. I was uncomfortable when I saw, and I saw the look on Giannis' face on the sideline, and it wasn't a pretty look, but I don't know what else to say on that, but I just wish it could have been round two for them. I hated that it's got to be over with. I never thought I would see this coming. No one did, and I'm a loyal Bucks fan. So I'm just disappointed and sad this morning. But I hope I'm still optimistic, and I got faith. But I'm nervous about tomorrow night.
Leroy, thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Nothing to be nervous about, Leroy. It's over. It's just over. It's done.
Without
Giannis and Dame, they're not winning three games in a row.
But I'll be very interested to see how they come out and play.
Oh, without Giannis and Dame.
Will they play like it's over, or will they have some fight in them?
For a team that had some Cancun in them before the All-Star break, no Giannis and Dame, could be a 1-2-3 Cancun night.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but I kind of like how it sounds.
1-2-3 Cancun?
Yeah.
You know what that means.
No, I don't.
Put your hands in. Ready? 1-2-3 Cancun!
We're going on vacation.
You had guys like that, the guy who packed the car.
Yeah, that
you
was early
tell
in the
story
career.
About the guy who packed the car.
Yeah.
And you were like, what do you mean? Well, we're done. So as soon as the game is over, I'm hitting the highway.
Those were two of the most shocking things I had coming into the NFL. Guys packed their car after week 14 and guys that smoke cigarettes.
For real.
Which was more shocking?
The cigarette?
Yeah, I think so,
I was about
too.
To say, it's got to be the cigarette.
Even back then, we knew that they were not great for you, cardiovascularly.
Guys would literally get into their car and then just fire up a grit and then choke it down in the two-minute drive that it took to get from the Hudson Center to the loading dock where we used to go in.
All right, there is a ton of reaction rolling in. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are going to pivot to the Packers eventually. We have Field Yates coming up at 7:45. He's going to break down many of the Packers picks this weekend. If there was something to be excited about, it was, of course, the way that the Packers drafted this weekend. I think that is the general sentiment here on this show. We will continue this conversation when we come back.
Tune into the Analysis Show every week. Bucks player Thanatis Adetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, basketball media royalty Jay Williams, and more big-name guests already lined up as part of Season 2 of the Analysis, like his own brother Giannis and the live show. That is available now with Giannis and Stephen A. Smith. So find the Analysis Show today on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Analysis Show YouTube channel as well for accompanying videos and special content.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by YouTube, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe some of our frustration or anger or blame is misplaced. We were just discussing during the break how You're angry because there was so much promise surrounding this Bucks team. You really hoped and thought that they could again, if not win the Larry O'Brien, be in the Eastern Conference Finals again. And I think like there's a reality that has set in, especially last night and Friday, watching these squads try to compete with the Pacers and fail. And I want to be mad. I am mad. I don't know who I guess I'm supposed to be mad at. And I think that's probably where the frustration is coming from, because I don't really want to blame the front office. I think, like you said, you're a little hamstrung when you have superstars you have to pay superstar money to, filling in the rest of the roster. I understand that. I understand that these guys are getting older. I don't want to blame Brooke Lopez. I think he's been a phenomenal player for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think even last night, him playing 39 minutes shows he wants to be out there on the court when Dame and Giannis cannot be out there.
And Bobby gets ejected.
But
that's a big reason why he had to do 39 minutes, correct, because you didn't have any big guys.
Which is why you saw Gallinari out there as much as you did.
But we're a society of blamers, and we have to blame. You go to...
We don't have to.
It feels good, though. Yeah. You go to the NFC Championship game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
What was the blame? Why did LaFleur kick the field goal?
Yes.
Why didn't he go for it? Mm-hmm. Next year, they lose to San Francisco. Who do you blame? Why didn't Rodgers throw the underneath route to Lazard instead of forcing it into... So we have to blame somebody. We have to, especially when this happens 2 years in a row. Someone's got to be blamed. I don't know who. I have no idea.
Well, if you want to blame someone, start the list, pal.
I don't know.
Who's number one on the list?
I mean, how do you blame Horse? He brought in an unbelievable player, and he's done that time and time again.
But also,
he's pivoted.
Yeah, but also, there's some older guys on the roster he decided to continue to run it back with.
Do you blame the players? Do you blame the players? At one point, Doc said some things. They're very unprofessional on the road. Right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't expect that out of the oldest team in the NBA. Do you blame the coaches? Adrian Griffin, was a train wreck, but his record was a hell of a lot better than Doc's.
And of course, Doc came in with that reputation of not being able to get it done in the playoffs, right? That's what we knew when they hired Doc Rivers. Yep. We talked about it, but we said, but you've got this great roster. This will be different, most likely, hopefully, because you've got these superstars who can get it done. Reaction rolling in fast and furious on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. I can barely keep up with it. Ron in the key saying, you can't say, I know no other team would win if they lost their top five in the world player, but why didn't the Bucks win? We as fans don't want to hear that sports is often about luck and injuries, but it is. You know who put up 25 plus with 10 and 5 yesterday? Embiid, Luka, and Chris. That's it. He played like an NBA MVP. Let's see. Rich weighing in saying, let Pat become a player, relation exec, and sell his real estate to future stars, ship Brooke out and get Gobert, then figure out if you can move Bobby or Chris for Beal or Russell or Clay or Caruso or Hero. My 2 cents probably only worth one. That from Rich in Greenfield. Christopher saying, I think a lot about what Drew said a couple of years ago about playing point guard on a new team in a new system. He said it takes 2 years of playing and practicing together before you are running it right. I look forward to next year's playoffs, as the Bucks should be at that point. Of course, Drew will still be on the Celtics then. That from Chris in Nashville. Now, you have said it takes time for superstars to gel, for the chemistry to build. The problem is, it's not going to be this iteration of this team. And if I'm reading the text correctly, a lot of people hope it isn't. And that, I think, is probably where some of the sadness comes in. This morning, it's a pending sadness, because, of course, the Bucks are still officially in it, even though the odds are not in their favor. The sadness is, I wanted this group to do it, Gabe. I wanted this group to do it real, real, real bad. Between the Pat Connaughton, who has invested so much in this community and in this team, and the Bobbies, who everybody loves, and he's on the Chamber of Commerce and on the Visit Milwaukee commercials, and obviously Brooke Lopez, who has had an incredible career, before he came to the Milwaukee Bucks, and has just been another cog in that machine. I wanted this group to do it. I wanted them to get another trophy, and I think the sadness I'm feeling today is in part because I know that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and we never got them to see if they could get another one because of the injuries. Like, the Giannis injury last year was a bigger deal than I even wanted to make it out to be against the Heat, because they should have still been able to beat the Heat. But yeah, you just, especially once Dame was out yesterday, it just kind of felt like it was okay. Like, a miracle would have to happen in order for that, for them to be able to steal one on the road against the Pacers.
Adam weighing in saying, it's bad luck. but bad luck doesn't make for good sports radio. Just don't blow it up. Hey, Adam is right there with us.
So does that mean we blame Jimmy Haslam?
Oh, I forgot about him.
I mean, number one is the soldiest on the power rankings.
The bad luck for Haslam, kind of, right?
There's a big thing going on here where it seems like inevitably the Bucks have to run back Dame, Giannis, and Doc. The major flaw in that is we don't have an answer if that's going to work, even with time to gel.
Correct.
Right. So we have to be in a spot where you're running back those main three guys. What if the answer is it's not the right combination of guys? Then what? Then you're just extending it another year and you feel like you lost a year of what is supposed to be Giannis's prime in that. That's where this, to me, is very frustrated and angering.
I mean, I guess the Doc piece would be the most questionable piece there, right?
You'd hope so, but I mean, Dame, both these guys aren't getting younger to me.
No.
Dame's best days are presumably behind him. How much is he enough to be the second fiddle to Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I still think he's good enough. I mean, for a dude who can score 35 points and a half of a playoff game, like, that's still pretty damn good. Like, that's really damn good.
Mad City Brew weighing in saying, this season was jinxed or in trouble the moment Terry Stotts left the team. Again, we don't know. It could be.
Might have been the right answer for the head coach there.
Right, exactly. Maybe we needed Terry Stotts there on the bench and helping out and mentoring, if you will. 800-990-3776. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Field Yates from ESPN coming up next. You saw him all weekend long on ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft. He is very high on what the Packers did this weekend. He'll tell us why right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The NFL draft is in the books, and that means that Green Bay is on the clock. The NFL draft will be in Green Bay next year, but before we turn our attention to that, let's look backwards at what happened in Detroit. And joining us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is ESPN's newest draft expert, Field Yates. Can I call you a draft expert, Field? It feels appropriate.
Jen, it's very kind of you to say. If anybody can be a draft expert, I think it might be the one and only Mel Kiper. But, you know, I felt like spending about, I don't know, 30 hours over the past few days on air with Mel, at least like some of his aura rubbed off on me. So maybe like halfway to being an expert. I'll take that. By the way, you guys all look great this morning. But my guy Gabe with the outstanding Roback hoodie, I mean, that right there is winning the day.
I've heard you're a big fan of him. So am I. It's like my closet is absolutely full of him, Field.
His go-to, for
yeah,
sure.
Smart man.
Trying to get him an endorsement deal hasn't come through yet, but that doesn't mean we'll stop trying.
We'll work on that.
Let's talk about what the Green Bay Packers did this weekend. A lot of the people who evaluate the drafts and try to put grades together just based on name and what the guys have done in college thought very highly of what the Packers did, maybe carried by their first three or four picks. What was your reaction to what Green Bay did this weekend?
Yeah, my general stance on draft grades is that I am going to skew towards the top of the draft, just because while there are several success stories every year of guys, maybe not quite at the level of Puka Nacua, but you know, he was kind of the banner day three pick last year. We know that, you know, most of the all pro level players tend to be drafted in the first 100 or so picks. So Green Bay managed to sort of both fit value and need into the first three rounds of the NFL draft. You know, I felt like Edrian Cooper was probably like right on the precipice of being a first round pick, so to land him closer to the middle of the second round and probably filled their biggest need was, to me, a really reasonable piece of business right there by Green Bay. I know there were some fans that were disappointed by bypassing or, I guess, having the Eagles jump them for Cooper DeJean. I thought that Edrian Cooper was a very reasonable second round investment for them. And then Jordan Morgan was a guy that I was high on throughout the process. There was a lot to like about what Morgan did during his career at Arizona. You know, coming back this past season, he suffered a torn ACL at the end of the 2022 campaign. You're 300 plus pounds. Like, it takes you, in some cases, more than a full season to get back to where you were prior to the injury. And Jordan Morgan, in week one of last season, did not look like a guy that had suffered an ACL tear some 8 or 9 months before. I thought it was a real credit to him just in terms of the way that he prepared to get back on the field, but also a reminder that this guy's a pretty good athlete. He's maybe not quite as athletic as a couple of the tackles that went right ahead of him, whether it was Tyler Guyton to the Cowboys or whether it was Amarius Mims to the Cincinnati Bengals, but he's ready to play. I believe that. I think Jordan Morgan is ready to play probably sooner than later. He's got some potential guard flexibility despite the fact that he was a tackle in college. Doesn't have super long arms or this massive wingspan like some of the guys that I just mentioned. One of the favorite draft notes that I saw was that Amarius Mims has a 1/4 inch shorter wingspan than Giannis. So some perspective on just how freaky Amarius Mims is. But I thought Jordan Morgan was the most pro-ready of the guys that went in the second half of that offensive tackle class. Tons of experience, played a really fun offense in Arizona, moved around a lot. But I think this guy is ready to go, and obviously the Packers probably have themselves a left tackle competition underway with him, Rashid Walker.
Field, how do you think the rest of the North did? I mean, I'm seeing Chicago's getting some of the highest grades out of all teams in the draft. How do you think, did they get better?
Yeah, the Bears, I mean, they have one of the best drafts, despite the fact they had just 5 total picks. You know, the reality is when you have 2 picks in the top 10, we should be grading it really high. But things worked out in their favor, specific to the 9th overall pick. Obviously, at number 1, they could do whatever they want. Caleb Williams was my wire-to-wire number 1 prospect. And Jaden Daniels made things fairly interesting, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is certainly outstanding as well. But to me, Caleb continued to remain a cut above, but you know, the 50-50 proposition, as their GM Ryan Poles told us during day 3 of the broadcast, was whether or not Roma Dunze would be available. The interesting part is that we kind of all thought by the time the draft rolled around that 4 quarterbacks would be gone ahead of Chicago at pick number 9. I just don't think we thought that it would be Mike Penix Jr. going to the Falcons at number 8 that would make quarterback number 4. But Adunze, who was the 6th overall player on my big board, to get him 3 spots later is, you know, a really good value within that top 10. And Chicago kind of came into the draft with 4 primary needs. They needed a quarterback, they needed a wide receiver, an offensive tackle, and they needed an edge rusher. Well, 4 out of their first 5 picks were exactly that, with a punter mixed in as well. So Chicago did well for themselves. You know, the Lions, it was an excellent, excellent effort, by the way, by the city of Detroit. And I can't wait to be in Green Bay next year. It pains me to say that I have never been to Lambeau Field before. It's the only NFL city I have never been to before. So I can't wait to change that a year from now. But I thought the Lions had some good, you know, day 3 values, Mekhi Wingo and Giovanni Manu specifically. I thought Chicago probably got the highest mark, but I thought everybody in this class did a pretty good job for themselves.
You mentioned the disappointment of no Cooper DeJean, who is just mocked by just about everybody to go to the Packers. They skip over him. They get Edgerrin
Cooper. Too good to be true.
Yeah, right? So then they end up with Javon Bullard as a safety out of Georgia. What can you tell us about Bullard?
Bullard has a ton of big game experience. He's got some versatility as well, and you're going to see him shot out of a cannon. The explosiveness for a safety, which I'm not sure that we talk about explosiveness with safeties all that often, is really, really impressive from Javon Bullard. But I don't know if this is a fair rule to live by or not, but I have adopted this rule, which is that if you can play in the secondary for Kirby Smart, who, of course, you know, has been coaching DBs for much of his coaching career, at least prior to becoming a head coach, and, of course, was one as well. Jen, I know you know that from all your days on the road. That alone makes me think you've got something going on. Like, you have an understanding of instincts. You have an understanding of concepts and schemes. So Javon Bullard, a smart player, versatility as well. I mentioned the big game production. I like guys that did it on the biggest stage. And Georgia, obviously, you know, they're at the point now where they're steamrolling teams left and right. But when they were stressed a little bit, Javon Bullard made some, you know, massive, massive plays for them. A few years ago against Ohio State in the playoffs, Javon Bullard was the one that actually had that hit on Marvin Harrison Jr. That unfortunately led to Marvin Harrison Jr. Suffering a concussion. But it was obviously, there was no bad intent by Bullard. It's football. But, you know, that was an example of him being in the right place, the right time. This safety class was tricky to figure out. There wasn't a clear-cut, obvious number 1 stand above the rest safety, unless you considered Cooper DeJean a safety. I considered him a corner throughout the process. But Bullard, Cole Bishop, Tyler Newbin, amongst the names that were kind of being bandied about as the likeliest to be the first off the board. So at the end of all 3 of those guys ended up going within like 13 picks, I think it was, from Newbin to Cole Bishop at number 60. So Bullard right there in that sweet spot of where I expected those top safeties to go.
ESPN's Field Yates joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning to break down the Packers draft. And so far, he has been high on a number of picks. So I want to talk generally speaking about defense. That was a huge issue for the Packers last year. Obviously, Joe Barry lost his job because for several seasons, that unit had underperformed. They have now dedicated a lot of draft capital. They obviously went out and got a huge player in Xavier McKinney. And you just talked about a lot of these players that they have put there. Is it fair to expect this to be one of the top defenses in the league next season based on who they have and what you think they're capable of accomplishing under Jeff Hafley?
Ooh, good question. Like top defenses, like maybe like not one of the first five or six, Jen, but I think this is they have a chance to be a dramatically improved defense, not just because of some of the reinforcements that they made on the roster this offseason. McKinney, who I thought I know that people will talk all the time about how there is so much fool's gold in free agency. You know, we see deals that end up blowing up in teams' faces rather rapidly. But I thought Xavier McKinney was one of the rare true blue free agents available, where it was more about the circumstance than it was the player. And he hit the open market. You know, the Giants were tight to the cap. They had over the last year plus dealt with Daniel Jones contract, the Saquon Barkley franchise tag, and they were sort of doing the dance there with Saquon and trying to keep some of the powder dry to potentially retain him. But McKinney, I thought, was about as clean as it got, along with Christian Wilkins in terms of free agents who hit the open market and deserved that huge contract. But, Jeff Hafley should make a massive, massive difference. Jeff Hafley, of course, coming over from Boston College, and, the scheme for Hafley is going to involve a ton of man-to-man. It's going to involve a ton of pressures that quarterbacks don't see coming. So you got to have guys that can cover. You got to have guys that can rush, which is why, while I wasn't expecting the Packers to use a premium pick on an edge rusher, given obviously the restructure and return of Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary and last year's first round pick, Lucas Van Ness, if something had worked out in which one of those top rushers, whether it was a Jared Verse or Leiatu Latu, had fallen to 25, it wouldn't have totally stunned me if they just said, well, this guy's just too good to ignore. Let's take him. So maybe I was like a little surprised that the Packers waited until the seventh round to address the cornerback spot for some extra depth. But I do think Jeff Hafley's presence alone does make this defense a whole lot better.
What are your thoughts on Marshawn Lloyd, the running back out of USC?
I thought there were three that were in the mix for being the best in this year's class. Lloyd plus Jonathan Brooks, who ended up being the first running back taken. And then also Trey Benson from Florida State, who was the second running back taken. It was kind of a, what style are you looking for? I thought Jonathan Brooks had some shades of Aaron Jones as a reference point. But coming off of a torn ACL, suffered on November 11th, I think he'll be ready for the start of the season. Sounds like he will be. He might even be ready for the start of training camp, but obviously that's something to factor into the equation. Trey Benson was kind of the forced tackle-making speed demon from Florida State, ran 4.39 at the 40. Marshawn Lloyd was the explosive, unafraid, do some work in the passing game as well, played his best football by far of his college career this past year at USC. He spent the first 3 years of his career, at the other USC, South Carolina. A fun player to watch. I have no issue with like where he went. I would say that I was surprised only because of the Josh Jacobs signing. I didn't think the Packers would be in the market for a running back in the first three rounds.
But, Chewy's been all over that field, just so you know. Chewy's been all over it, right? Them. Yeah. The entire time leading up to the draft, he kept saying, every time we were like, cornerback, offensive line, linebacker. Yeah. Chewy's like, and don't forget running back. We'd be like,
yeah, yeah. I don't think A.J. Dillon's the answer here. He's been given more than enough time to prove himself and just hasn't done it.
Yeah, BC, and a one-year deal.
And that's BC on BC crime.
Yeah, so that hurts.
I know. I was going to say, Chewy. Yeah, I know. That one does. Yeah, as the husband of a BC grad, that one kind of hit my soul a little bit right there as well. But yeah, it's probably a good reminder, and I should be as aware of this as anybody, is that any NFL scouting department will tell you the draft is not just about the year in which you're in, it's about the years ahead. So Marshawn Lloyd might be a guy who makes his presence felt a lot more in 2025 and 2026 than he will in 2024, because it would surprise none of us, I would think, if Josh Jacobs, provided he stays healthy, is amongst the NFL's leaders and total touches next season. I like the player a lot, though. Again, I should have studied the depth chart a little bit stronger during the pre-draft process and said to myself, you know, Chewy's up to something.
You know, Chewy's like
doesn't
broken
happen
broken
often.
Don't clock field. That's all you got to know. Okay, go ahead, Gabe.
Fair enough.
Where do you think the Packers? Because they didn't need a lot of wide receivers, tight ends, and you mentioned Roma Dunze and how he ends up in Chicago. The Lions obviously make a big investment right before the draft, announcing the Amon-Ra St. Brown contract. We batted this around on Friday. Where do you think the Packers' skill position group ranks within the NFC North?
Ooh, that's a good question, given, oh, man. All right. So I'll use Roma Dunze as sort of an analogy here, because somebody had to be the third-ranked receiver in this year's draft class. But if you had asked me whether Roma Dunze was the best receiver in many of the most recent draft classes, I would have said yes. He ended up being my third-ranked receiver and was the third taken in this year's class. And but still, like, so I kind of feel like that's what I'm sort of wondering right now is that the Packers may be third or fourth in total skill group spots. I mean, I can make an argument for them first too, right? Like, I don't know that anybody screams to me as like clearly the best. What I will say is that the Packers got the most out of the most number of guys last year, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe when fully healthy, the accolades of Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson are the most impressive when you factor in the full body of work. Gosh, I'm like talking myself into a filibuster, though, because I don't have a clear answer. the reality is that none of them have a deficiency, right? Like, there are teams around the NFL right now where you're saying to yourself, that skill group is not good enough to line up and win. But, you know, the Jordan Love breakout last year was by far the most important thing that the Packers had happen to or for them, and they get a lot of credit for that, obviously. And Goody's been on a heater for like 24 straight months now, it feels like, when you look back at some of the moves that he has made. But yeah, this is one of those skill groups that also, like, this maybe the second most important thing was just how fast everything happened for them last season, right? I mean, guys who are 20, 21 years old, 22 years old are making a mark seemingly out of nowhere. And guys were called upon that weren't making, you know, whether it was Tucker Kraft late in the season after, you know, whether it was the early run for, I guess, I feel like Jaden Reed also fits in that category. I was going to say he was on the early heater as well. But between Jaden and Tucker's emergence late, I guess maybe Luke Musgrave was earlier in the season, a little more productive at the tight end spot. The bottom line is this. They made an absolute masterclass out of the 2023 NFL draft. And these kids are all like still kids. Like, we actually call them that. So the Packers may have the best skill group in the NFC North. They may not, but none of them have a weakness. That put my brain into a pretzel right there. Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, well, we were just debating if they went from being first to worst.
I was trying to do math on the fly.
Yeah, no, but I think it's fair because they have all the other teams field have a bona fide wide receiver one. The Packers just don't. Okay, and we were saying there's a value there, isn't there?
Not yet.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. But if you turn the question around and said, where do they rank 1 through 32? They're still not, like, they're not that low, right? So they could be fourth in the NFC North, but they could be like 12th overall, and that's still really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd have to think about this much more critically. My good friend and colleague here at ESPN, Bill Barnwell, does skill group rankings every year. I think that comes out during the summer. So I'll be curious to see how Bill sees it. But yeah, it's not like it's a deficiency. I don't sit there and say right now, like, the Packers don't have enough for Jordan Love to work with and line up and score a bunch of points tomorrow.
No, we feel similarly. Field, it has been fantastic watching you grow into that role that they have you doing on the draft coverage. I am so, so happy for you. And we really appreciate you taking out some time out of your morning this morning to join Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Glad to do it. By the way, Jen, they put me in your Mercedes van for a little second. It was awesome. They were like, you know, Jen did a markedly better job with the interviews than you did, but I got just a little glimpse of what it was like to be Jen Latta for a minute.
First of all, is that or is that not the coolest spot to tape a podcast?
I mean, I was asking if I could drive it home. They almost let Kuiper drive it home.
You're like,
Jen's got a parked in her driveway now.
I got a couple of kids now. We could really use the space. We're going to have sporting events rolling down the lane here. When Shefty was on with us last week, he said the same thing. He goes, I was in your van. I told these guys, it's not my van.
Have you gotten a ticket in the van yet or no?
As far as Mercedes is concerned, it is your van. Yeah.
I have a very bad driving record, so you guys are telling me. Don't drive the van. They kept saying that. They're like, whatever you do, don't drive the van. Just sit in it and ask questions. Then everybody should be safe. Field, have a great one, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. See you guys. Talk to you. Yep.
He's Field Yates. You saw him all weekend long on ESPN's draft coverage. You'll see him continuing to crunch those numbers, check rosters, and he does a fantastic job at it. We are very lucky to have him this morning. All right. Killed the clock. No big deal. We'll take a break. Be right back after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.